Hello, Through the Word. Pastor Chris here with Ecclesiastes 9, the B-side. I have to tell you, I have been so enjoying this walk back through Ecclesiastes. This is actually a rewrite and re-record of a series that I did way back when Through the Word had just launched as a short little radio spot on one little radio station. We've come a long way in 9 years, and I had to go back and rewrite the guide for this book, one of my absolute favorites. I got to tell you, the lessons here, well, I've heard them before, I've taught them before. But wow, it's a little deeper as you get older. Life really does move fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. And Ferris Bueller said that more than 3 decades ago. Man, I'm getting old. I think Ferris would tell me, you're not dying, you just can't think of anything good to do. Ferris Bueller aside, life does move fast. As I record this, this very morning, I dropped my son off at the airport, boarding a plane for college life. 18 years of life together, and in one morning, it's all different. By the end of this year, my oldest daughter will be married. Life just keeps moving. So this chapter, chapter 9, it's always been a favorite, but today it really spoke to me, especially verse 9. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of this fleeting life that God has given you under the sun, all your fleeting days. Once again, I replace the word meaningless with fleeting, as I believe that's the better translation in context. Our days are short. Enjoy them while they're here. Warren Wiersbe put it this way. It's not by searching for special things that we find joy, but by making everyday things special. I like that. And I have to admit, this stuff has really been convicting me. I realized recently that there is a version of me, the best me, that comes out on certain occasions. Vacation, the beach, weddings. Best me is awesome. He's fun, witty, encouraging, generous, patient. I love best me. Now, the everyday me is a decent guy. A little stressed, maybe, but decent. But when I think about that obituary, and I wonder which me my kids will remember most, all the work stuff and bills that I stress about, and all the world's madness in the news, they just don't seem quite so important anymore. I can't fix the whole world, and I can't make all my problems go away, but I can love. Some people say, live like there's no tomorrow. I think that's a little short-sighted. There will very likely be a tomorrow for most of us. I say, live like today matters, and love like tomorrow isn't guaranteed, because it isn't. Back in verse 9, for this is your lot in life, and in your toilsome labor under the sun. The phrase lot in life can have a connotation of dreariness, but I don't think that's Solomon's intent here. God has given you a lot, a life granted to you. If your lot includes family, enjoy it. If it is friendship or work or trials or whatever, work at it and enjoy it and live it well. And look at verse 11. I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift or the battle to the strong. Nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned. But time and chance happen to them all. Listen, skill and strength and wisdom will improve your odds in life, but there are no guarantees. Sometimes Christians act like our faith gives us a golden ticket for things to work out our way. But we face life on the same planet as everyone else, and life happens. Ecclesiastes is a good reminder of that. And that helps me. I think it keeps us real, so outsiders don't think we're living in some sort of fantasy land. No, we understand the realities of life. We get that life isn't fair, but we also see more. That's why we walk by faith, not by sight. Ecclesiastes is a glimpse at life walking by sight. We don't live there, but it is good to remember what that's like for the rest of the world. Well, Solomon closes chapter 9 with a story. Verse 13, I also saw under the sun this example of wisdom that greatly impressed me. There was once a small city with only a few people in it, and a powerful king came against it, surrounded it, and built huge siege works against it. Now there lived in that city a man poor but wise, and he saved the city by his wisdom. But nobody remembered that poor man. So I said, wisdom is better than strength. But the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are no longer heeded. I love this story. A short vignette, a little observation of life. Something amazing happened. A poor but wise man saved his entire city. Wisdom prevailed over might. Incredible. But then they forgot him. Solomon declares that wisdom is better than strength. But the man's wisdom was forgotten. The people don't listen anymore. What's the point of that? What are words for when no one listens anymore? And do I quote the 80s too much? Don't answer that. I already know. But seriously, look at our own past. How many times has one generation learned a hard lesson only for the next to forget it? So Solomon makes two conclusions to close out the chapter. In verse 17, the quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. That's a good word. Who are you listening to? The fool that shouts the loudest, or the wise who speak quietly and humbly? And in verse 18, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. That verse holds some difficult truth. The first part is popular. I found it quoted on several pacifist websites. And it's true. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. I agree wholeheartedly. Sadly, though, most nations spend far more on weapons of war than we do on diplomacy. 50 years ago, in my own country, weapons received twice the budget. Today, it's more than 10 times the diplomacy budget. But there is a balance here to keep idealism in check. And it's interesting to note that none of those pacifist websites quoted the second half of the verse. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. In other words, wisdom and peace are way better, but sin always makes a mess of it all. One sinner can do so much damage, can destroy the work of so much wisdom and effort. That doesn't mean we give up, and it doesn't mean we should go to war to fight every wicked sinner out there. We'd all be destroyed. But if there is wisdom, if there is a way to avoid the war and save the city, then take it. But understand, it's not an easy road. There are a whole lot of sinners out there that will destroy a whole lot of good. Corruption, greed, lust, they'll mess up both sides of the political aisle. But when it's all said and done, wisdom is the better road, and righteousness will be rewarded, and God will not forget the good we've done. God works all things for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. We just might not see it until we see the eternal perspective. And that's it for Side B. Hope you're enjoying Ecclesiastes as much as I am. And I'll see you back here in Chapter 10.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.